Hello bisexuals, welcome back to another episode of The Bisexual Agenda. I'm your host, Kit Scales. Today I have one of my oldest friends on the podcast. So my first job when I was 16 was working at Starbucks. I was really bad at it because I hate working under pressure. I never got trained. I was making the frappuccinos wrong. Every time a mean mum told me that the frappuccino was wrong, I was crying in the back room. Oh my god. But it also was so fun because we had our little dream team. Me and Tom became friends when we were working at Starbucks, and we have just been friends ever since. I'm gonna have to check with him if he's okay with me telling this story, but one time he texts me like, can you do me a favor? And I was like, yes. So my mind was immediately thinking like, okay, he needs money. I've got this much money in my account. Okay, I'm gonna transfer. I was so deep in. Okay, so for context, this must have been when I was like 17. I lived in like the city and he lived like a bit further out. And then he's like, I'm leaving a Grindr date and I can't get back home. Can I stay at your house tonight? So he had been on this date and then the guy had been like, you can't sleep over. And Tom was like, well, what the fuck am I gonna do? I can't get home. Like, there's no buses. Like, obviously this is pre-Uber. Like, you're not calling a cab and spending like £50 to get home. So he texts me like, please, can I spend the night at yours? And he came over and we watched High School Musical. And that was when the bond was truly forged. Anyway, so I love Tom. He has one of the best accents I've ever heard in my fucking life. And him and his boyfriend Dan are coming on the podcast to talk about open relationships and non-monogamy. I do get a lot of dilemmas that are about people who want to open up their relationship and are considering it. And I think it's really good to talk to some people who know what they're talking about. And we do also answer a couple of dilemmas this episode, which I saved. As usual, all of the trigger warnings and content warnings for this episode are in the description, along with links to anything that we talked about. If you do have any questions, you can always message me on Instagram at the Bisexual Agenda Pod. I love chatting with you guys. And as always, thank you so much for listening. The next episode that comes out will actually be the 2-year anniversary episode. So if you have ideas about what you want to hear for that topic, let me know. One more thing before I go is we recorded this on the hottest day of the year, and there is a little bit of fan noise when Tom and Dan are talking. I don't think it's too much of a distraction, and it is only on their side of the audio, and I have edited it out from all the other parts that I could. So please forgive us. We would have been roasting. Love you. Hope you have a good day, and I hope you enjoy the episode. I thought it'd be good to talk to people who are in an open relationship and like have been together for a long time. So you guys will hopefully be able to like share what's worked for you and like how you've got to a good place with it.
Yay!
I'm excited.
Me too.
So basically this is just a joke that me and Tom have because we're obsessed with High School Musical, but I have this theory that polyamory could solve all of the problems in a High School Musical. If Sharpay, Troy, and Gabriella formed like a thruffle, there would be like no conflict in that movie.
Everything would have worked out for the best.
Exactly.
Polyamory can like solve a lot of problems.
It can solve a lot of problems because when people message me and they're like, oh, like I'm with a guy but I kind of want to date girls, I'm like, have you heard of dating more than one person at once?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I'm very open. I always have been. Like, I don't really consider myself polyamorous, but like, I consider myself like very open to whatever kind of relationship structure that the person I'm interested in want. And not just in a kind of, oh, whatever you want, I'll go along with it way. Just in a like, I don't really get jealous. And the priority for me is like, I just want to know that you're telling me what's going on and that you're honest with me. So whatever that looks like for you, I'd rather you told me if you don't want to be in a monogamous relationship, and then we like work on it from there. So even when I was literally like a teenager and I was dating guys like fairly casually, I was like, well, I don't care if you sleep with other people, but as long as I know what's going on, like, I'm comfortable with that.
Oh, that's really interesting.
But then I have also always said, like, I don't know if I could date more than one person at once, because the person I fancy takes up, like, so much of my brain that I think if I dated more than one person, I would, like, have to quit my job. Just be like, I'm going dating full time now. Like,
it's a dream job.
Exactly. So do you guys want to talk a bit about your relationship and maybe, like, how long you were together before you decided to open up your relationship?
Yeah, so I'm Tom. I'm here with my partner, Dan. We are everyone's favourite Virgo power couple. We've been together coming up for 7 years in September now. We've been open for about 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Four.
So, yeah, I think it's been a bit of an experience, bit of an adventure. It's mainly been focused purely on sexual, so just having sex with other people and together as a, or in like groups.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we've had quite a wide variety of good and bad experiences with it, but there are quite a lot of good stories, but I feel like it's really working for us. But it's took us a while to get to this point, but we're in a really good point.
Mm-hmm. Like, do you remember like the kind of first conversation that you had about it, or like who brought it up? Because I always do wonder, like, when you're in an established relationship, because I'm always the kind of plus one in this kind of scenario, I do wonder, like, how does it start?
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly. I think maybe Dan brought up the idea of being open, but I think I was always interested in having a freeway. It kind of just grew out of that, really. So I think we spoke about it on and off for a while before actually doing anything with it. Just had to really get into the right place for it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, like, for me, like, people who have been in a relationship for a while will definitely connect with the fact that sex lives change over time when you've been in a relationship for a few years. And I wanted to really live a sex positive life in this relationship, and being open sort of facilitates that. The whole kind of like idea that when you enter into a relationship, your sort of sexuality dies. I wanted to kind of fight against that when we came into this relationship, and really encourage like both of us to be like, it's okay that other people are going to find us attractive, and we're going to continue to find people attractive, and that's normal.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because like in the most recent episode we did, the one that was a dilemma that was kind of like, when I'm with men, I think about women, and when I'm with women, I think about men, and I feel like it's always going to be like this. And Olivia was just like, yeah, like when you're in a relationship, you don't just suddenly stop fancy people, and you also just don't suddenly stop being hot to other people.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people kind of talk about the idea that one person can't like fulfill all of your needs, like when they're talking about why people have chosen to be in an open relationship. And I think sometimes that makes people think like, oh no, my partner's the only person I want and they're everything to me. But it's like, people are different. Like, your partner isn't necessarily going to be into all the same things as you are, like sexually, or want the same life as you. Like, I think when you're open and it's mainly for like having sexual experiences out of your relationship, that's like one of the healthiest ways to get your like sexual needs met, that people who are monogamous basically just like cheat on their partners or break up over if they're like, well, our sex life isn't giving me exactly what I want. So it's cool that you were like, well, we want to be able to explore, and that can be within our relationship.
Yeah, and it's not fair to put all of that sort of pressure on yourself and your partner to fulfill all of those desires, especially, I mean, sexually and sort of like for life goals as well. It's not fair to place everything just on one person.
Yeah, because also then if your like needs change or what you want changes, you could think, oh, does that mean that this person isn't right for me anymore? But it could just mean maybe I need to get that from another place or another person, and maybe that's just something I want now and isn't what I'm always going to want. Yeah, I guess I do kind of want to talk about threesomes, because we also get a lot of questions about threesomes. And I pulled a very strange move, which is I hadn't had sex for about 2 years, and then I decided I wanted to have a threesome. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go on Tinder and like find a couple. And the first couple I went on a date with, I had a really uncomfortable experience, actually. Like, I don't know if you've ever gone on a date as a couple.
Yeah, a couple of times, yeah.
Yeah, like, basically, so I I went into it kind of thinking, well, I think the girl's really pretty. I haven't really been with the guy for quite a few years. I'm going to focus on getting to know the guy and seeing if I get on with him, because I basically feel like me and the girl, yes, that's all good. So we went for like a drink. We talked for quite a long time. And then I was like, okay, I think that was pretty positive. And then the next day they text me being like, oh, like the girl thought you focused too much on the guy and she felt really left out and really insecure. And she thinks that you only fancy him. So like, we don't want to see you again. Oh. And it was like quite intense, because also I was like, it was kind of weird because it was kind of like, okay, like you did something wrong. Whereas I'm like, surely it's kind of on him to kind of bring her into a situation. And like, I don't know, maybe if I had like gone to the bathroom, they could have been like, hey, how are you doing? And she could have been like, oh, I'm kind of feeling left out. Do you know what I mean? It was just like, oh, I didn't have any of that information until the date was over. But it also just gave me the impression that they weren't actually ready to have a threesome, because that was kind of like showing signs of like insecurity or jealousy in the relationship. And I just thought she was kind of quiet. I was just like, okay, like she's a bit quieter, but that's all good.
Yeah, I think we've noticed that if we're having a three-way, the other person we bring in is normally more into one of us than the other. And that's something we've had to work at, as you get a bit jealous at first.
Mm.
It's normal. Like, it's a completely normal experience for
us
to go through, but it's just taken us a little while to get used to.
Yeah, I think it just was a weird experience for me, because it kind of made... Because they also said something like, oh, you were really chatty and friendly and we just want someone who, like, we want to rip their clothes off. And I was just like, so you're saying I'm too friendly to have a threesome with you? Like, whereas, like, for me, it's like, well, I want to know that we can communicate. Because, like, good communication and having respect is, like, a core foundation for having good sex.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I guess, like, for us, like, we've had those, like, experiences, and it's really important, as like, from the couple's point of view, to keep checking in with each other throughout to make sure that the other person's okay. Mm. It sounds like that they absolutely didn't do that throughout, or even, like, properly communicate with you, and you're right, it sounds like that they kind of went into the whole sort of threesome thing a little bit unprepared, maybe.
Yeah, I think, like, it makes a lot of sense, because it's a fantasy for a lot of people, and I think for them, they hadn't... It felt like they hadn't considered that I actually was a person that, like, also wanted to get something out of the experience, and I wasn't just like, I'm a magical person that's going to pop into your relationship and have an amazing sexy threesome with you and then kind of disappear. It was, like, a strange situation. But then I was happy, because then I met, like, a couple that I got on really well with, and we had, like, a really good first date where they were really, like, chilled and relaxed, and I could tell they were both really comfortable in the situation. We didn't kiss or anything on the first date. I think the girl, like, kissed me on the cheek when I was getting out of the taxi or something. And then the next time we met, we just had a drink at theirs. And because they seemed so much more relaxed about it, and they did want to get to know me, like, on a, like, friendship level as well, that was kind of, like, the perfect situation for me, because I'm actually not that into casual sex. Like, and it's weird because it's, like, group sex can actually be not super casual, even though I feel like a lot of people think, oh, you just go and have, like, a random hookup, like, with a third person that you don't really know. Whereas it was important to me that I could, like, trust the other people involved. But yeah, I think checking in is important. Like, I guess, how do you kind of do that while you're, like, on a date with someone, or would you do it kind of afterwards?
We do it if we're, like, if we're having some drinks with someone at the flat, or if we're out. Normally, I think you mentioned toilet breaks earlier. That's a really good natural bit of downtime.
Mm-hmm.
Or if one of us goes to the toilet, we'll just drop the other a quick text. Like, sometimes it can just be, like, a bit of eye contact and, like, shake or nod your head if you're, like, really not feeling it.
Yeah.
We've had people come round, don't look like the photos, and we've communicated, and we've just done the, sorry, we're just not interested.
Yeah, I think that's, like, so good that you have that kind of, like, system and also, like, confidence in place where, like, if someone isn't actually a good fit for you guys, or if you're like, actually, I'm not attracted to this person, because, like, with dating apps and stuff, like, I presume you're meeting a lot of people on, like, a dating app. You can't tell if you're going to fancy the person, and you can't just be like, oh, well, I guess I'm going along with it. I guess we're going to have a threesome with this person that neither of us fancy. Like, that's so integral to be able to be like, actually, I'm not into this.
Yeah, we've had times where maybe I'm more into the person than Dan is, and Dan will maybe take a step back and watch rather than be more directly involved. We've had people who I'm into them a bit, but not enough to want to meet again, but Dan wants to meet them again, and then he can just go meet them on their own.
Yeah.
So it gives us, we've got a lot of flexibility, and I think it's just keeping communicating at every stage where we can, even like partway through.
Yeah. So something you wanted to talk about was like how this has changed your relationship, I guess. Like, I didn't really have any experience of this because I've always been the person that's kind of been the plus one. Could you talk about how it changed at the beginning and like the kind of like growing pains of like settling into something that was comfortable for both of you?
Yeah, I guess as we started, I think we first got together when I was just before I was 21, and I'd really only been exploring my sexuality for around 6 months. So mm-hmm. Dan was one of the first people I ever got with. He was my first real relationship. So it was quite, I guess it was very intense moving from that monogamous relationship into an open relationship. It was like it was a big change of pace, as I'd not really had anything like it before. I mean, at the start it was a lot of conversations, like we really had to work on communication. I've always been really reserved, so I've had to really come out of my shell in terms of talking about my feelings, and that's a really big change I've had to make.
I think I've had that too. Like, even though I'm like 26, like I've actually never really been in a long-term relationship. So it's like now this is kind of my first like longer term relationship. And even though I'm like super outgoing, I am actually pretty reserved about my feelings. Like, I'm such a classic, like I'll just joke about all my problems, but like it's going to take years until I actually open up to you. So I think it's really hard to like actually tell someone what you want and need. And also sometimes you actually don't know what you need, like especially if it's like your first relationship and you don't really have anything else to go off. Did you ever feel like, well, I can't completely tell you what I am okay with or what I won't be okay with because I won't know until I try, that kind of thing?
I maybe have that a bit more, as Dan's like 4 or 5 years older than me and had a relationship before. So for me, everything was very new and very much like in pretty much a lot of aspects of our relationship, I really felt like Dan was taking the lead and I was just like trying to keep up as I had no idea what I was doing. I was just like, yeah, just along for the ride, just going with the flow, whereas Dan had more of an, not like a full-on agenda, but I guess was more prepared for like what came next, like when we first moved in together, what to expect, everything like that.
Yeah, I guess Dan, like what was that like for you? Because like I sometimes get people who are like, oh, I'm just coming out and I want to date. Like, I guess that is like kind of a level of like responsibility when you're dating someone who's like only just come out.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, mainly the things that I had to teach Tom were how to like hang the laundry out.
All the really boring domestic things.
Yeah. The really boring domestic stuff. I mean, for me, because I had been in a relationship before, it really gave me an idea of what I did and didn't want from my next relationship. So in some way, I was more like, okay, this is the way that I want to do things. And I think that kind of helped because I felt like the way that I wanted to do things were a healthy way, whereas my first relationship was quite unhealthy. And like kind of having learned some lessons helped to make our relationship a lot more healthy and kind of like set those expectations of like that again, kind of, okay, your sexuality isn't going to die. And other people are going to find us attractive still, hopefully. And then like really realizing that increasing that communication between us would benefit us.
Yeah.
And talking about our insecurities and our sensitive issues really did help. And I think that us being open and having to talk about those things more would benefit sort of like even monogamous relationships a lot more as well, because we've had to speak about those things.
Yeah, I think that's like part of the reason why I was so, because I had come out of a relationship that was super unhealthy and had basically no communication because I was like terrified to talk about
what I wanted, because I felt like the relationship could end at any moment if I complained about anything. So I think part of the thing that was like so appealing for me with like a couple that's already established, having a threesome or like getting involved with some people who are in an open relationship, it was like, well, we're going to have to talk about everything, because you can't just have a threesome without having a conversation. Well, you can, but it wouldn't be good. And like, they've had a conversation, they knew what each of them want. And I also kind of felt like, as the plus one, I felt like, well, I can assert my needs. Like, I can go in there and say, well, this is what I want, this is what I don't want. And if it's not a good fit for them or me, I don't lose anything from that. Like, I think it's kind of strange because it is like quite high stakes, I think. Like, I think people think, oh, I could never do that. I could never date someone who's in another relationship. But for me, it's like, well, I know that person already has a successful relationship and that they're managing to like successfully open it up and create relationships with other people. So for me, that kind of indicates that they are good at talking things through and like they do have their partner's best interests at heart. Like, obviously, that's not the case for everyone in an open relationship. Some people might be terrible at communicating anyway. But I think the fact that like it's a necessity to have those conversations, whereas if you're like in a monogamous relationship, sometimes things can kind of like fester until it's like a bigger problem.
Yeah, it's easy to stagnate in a longer term relationship, and it's, you just have to keep talking, otherwise you just settle into the same routine over and over again, and if you're not being fulfilled by it, it just becomes harder and harder to speak up.
Yeah, so do you want to talk a bit about like the things that you've enjoyed the most about being in a relationship and then things that you found a bit more difficult?
Yeah, I think, I guess, going open as well as increasing communication and getting to know each other better. As I said, I was quite a sexual novice when me and Dan got together. I've really got to go out, have a lot of experiences, learn what I like and don't like. Like, spank me all you like, please don't call me daddy. Again, you don't know it, and sometimes it's easier if there's something you think you might like, or if someone's on an app just saying, oh, I want to try this. Sometimes it's easier to try new things with a stranger, and then if you like it, you can bring it in. If you don't like it, it's a good story.
Yeah, I think that's so sweet. And also like having like a stable and solid like long-term relationship is a really nice like background for going out and having all these adventurous experiences, because it's like, well, at the end of the day, you can come home and talk to Dan and be like, oh, I tried this thing and it was good, bad, weird, like,
yeah.
And it's not like you're just going on a billion Tinder dates and you're kind of like, well, I'm learning stuff from these experiences, but I still don't really know what I want. Like, that's cool that you can like share those experiences together.
Yeah, so like something bad might happen and we'll be like, oh no, we really didn't enjoy X, Y, Z. And like, we'll have to put on like a pan of water and have some like trauma pasta to like, make ourselves feel better and just eat pasta at like 2 a.m.
I don't know if I would ever want to like me and Caddy, like, I don't know if I'd ever want to have a threesome with Caddy and someone else, or like, because then I'm like, well, what if it's bad? And then like, how do you deal with that? Like, but I guess it's kind of just about not having super high expectations.
We did like a sort of like, to, you know, that you've got your relationship to fall back on, like just what you said. So like, we can comfort each other kind of thing, but also kind of give each other like a free pass. So it's kind of, it's like, let's try this. And if we don't like it, then you can sort of like decide from there.
It can be scary, like, especially when like you have a fantasy about something, but then you're like, would I actually like this in real life? Because some things, like the idea of it is actually what turns you on rather than actually doing it. But like, sometimes it is okay to try something and then be like, actually, I don't really want to ever do that again. Like, I'm not fussed about it. Like, it's not inherently bad to try things and not like them, like, as long as you can like communicate with people involved, like, oh, actually, I wasn't super into that.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
I guess the like the pros for me is like, I feel like I'm not super traditional with relationships. Like, I don't love sleepovers and I don't really want to ever live with a partner. So like, I know that with Caddy and stuff, like, it's not weird for them that like we're never going to live together. Like, it, our relationship isn't going to like quote unquote progress in that way, like, even if we're together for a really long time. but that's actually like my ideal relationship. I think knowing that, like, well, Kelly still has what they want with Hannah, like they live together, and it's not weird for me if like me and Kelly have a date together and then they go home and like stay the night at their house with Hannah. Like, that's not weird to me. Whereas some people might be like, how can you deal with that? Like, don't you want them all to yourself? Like, I really don't feel that way. So I think it is kind of like a freedom to have what you want that isn't necessarily exactly the same as what your partner wants.
Yeah, it's like a real, I mean, that must take a lot of, I know you said that you don't really feel jealous particularly, but that's a whole new level of it, really.
It's funny because I was thinking about, like, if I do ever feel jealous, and it's like, because I have been friends with Hannah, like, I was friends with Hannah before I even met Caddy, and I know that Hannah is, like, amazing, and I know that their relationship is really good, and I'm not actually jealous of their relationship, but sometimes I am jealous of, like, Hannah is just incredible. Like, she's really good at baking. She, like, can speak all these languages. She's a Virgo, okay, so, like, she can just do all this stuff. So sometimes I'm like, wow, like, that is a lot. But then I'm just like, well, we're not actually competing in any way. Like, we're different people. And, like, I'm happy that Hannah and Caddy are together because I think they're great together. It actually all makes sense and, like, works super well. Like, in my other relationship, so this was, like, when I was seeing someone who was polyamorous, but the relationship was very bad because they were a terrible person. But in that relationship, I would feel jealous if they didn't text me all day because I would think, okay, they're obviously with their girlfriend and that's why they're not texting me. But I think that wasn't even jealousy about their relationship. That was just, I wish they would actually just check in with me, even if they are with their girlfriend all day. I wish they could just text me and be like, hey, I hope you're having a good day. I think that was more about, like, my needs around communication and kind of feeling like that wasn't super great in the relationship. So even times when I have felt jealous, I feel like the underlying reasons for that have been actually nothing to do with the other person.
Yeah, it's like that's actually a bad relationship. And it doesn't matter whether they're open or poly or what, it doesn't change the fact that they're good at communicating.
I know, and it was so annoying because I remember, so when we were together, I could tell that a few people who I were friends with didn't quite understand why I wanted to be involved with someone who had a partner, because it was the first time I'd done it. I think I felt a bit insecure telling people because I felt like, oh, they're never going to understand why I want to do that. And then I remember when we broke up, someone was like, oh yeah, like all open relationships end up like being terrible. And I was just like so insulted because I was like, actually, no, we broke up because that person just sucks.
Yeah, like it's nothing to do with the open relationship. That's just a bad relationship.
But yeah, like, do you ever find that like people, like how open are you about having an open relationship with friends and stuff like that? Do you feel like people judge you?
We've not told like loads and loads of people. Like most people are fine with it. Like some of our friends just love hearing about it, especially some of our friends in more like domestic settled relationships absolutely love the stories. They're just living vicariously through
their
sex life. So I think people are really supportive. I wouldn't say everyone necessarily understands it. And some people think it's just going to be a short-term thing and they're surprised when, like, as people I maybe don't talk to as much, like 3-4 months down the line, they'll wonder if we're still in an open relationship. And it's like, of course, like, it's not just like a phase, really. It's been the majority of our relationship.
For me, like, I've spoken to maybe like colleagues that I work with and they know that I'm in an open relationship and think that like that's the future kind of thing. And I always say like I feel like open relationships are the future. But it doesn't solve like domestic relationship problems. Like we still argue about the dishes and we still don't want to do the laundry and like really everyday kind of stuff. It doesn't change that. And we're basically just a normal couple as well, on top of just being open. Like it's not like we wake up every day and think, oh look, we're open.
Yeah, you're like, okay, so today we're gonna go to the supermarket and then we're gonna have our threesome and then we're gonna talk about how amazing our threesome was for 3 hours. Like,
yeah, exactly that.
I mean, that sounds like a great day.
Some days, yeah, but not every day.
A a lot of people, like, when I talk to them about it, they're just like, I could never do that. And it's like, it's okay if that's not what you're interested in, or like, that's not the kind of relationship you want. Like, that is fine. Like, a lot of people are like, actually, I think that the kind of person I am, I just wouldn't suit that. Like, I think a lot of people do bring up jealousy because they kind of think, oh, I would just be too jealous, I could never do that. But I kind of see jealousy as like just another emotion that you kind of have to work through and talk about. Like, sometimes you might feel jealous and that is not the end of the world. And people in monogamous relationships feel jealous as well. Like, it's not a relationship ending feeling. Like, it's okay to feel jealous, like, as long as you can talk about it in a healthy way. And I think in an open relationship, you have the kind of platform to talk about jealousy in a healthy way. Whereas in a monogamous relationship, if you turn around and said, oh, I'm really jealous, you're spending all your time with this person, that's kind of seen as very like possessive and like not a healthy conversation.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah,
love that. Completely 100% agree with that. Like, being in an open relationship facilitates those conversations and sort of airs that, so you don't really have anything that you feel that you're hiding from the other person, because you know you can you'll see them looking at somebody in the street and be like, hell yeah, they're hot, that's fine and that's cool.
Jealousy sometimes comes from like a place of insecurity. Sometimes it's just like you're having a bad day and you're feeling a bit more sensitive about stuff. Like, it doesn't actually necessarily mean that your partner's doing something wrong. They're not making you feel jealous. You just happen to feel jealous and it's okay to feel that way. Sometimes you're going to be annoyed at your partner. Sometimes you're going to feel jealous of them. Like, that's actually okay. Obviously, if that's the main overriding emotion in your relationship, maybe that's a sign that something's wrong. But I think especially if you're first starting out opening a relationship, some kind of jealousy is probably to be expected. Like, I don't know if you guys felt that, like, earlier in your relationship when you were first opening up, like, did you struggle with like new emotions that came up that you were like, oh, I don't like feeling that? Was that something that was difficult?
I guess for us, like, it wasn't just the jealousy of someone being with my partner, of the other person, but jealousy of them pulling and like me not, potentially, which was really interesting and something that was like new to that experience.
Yeah,
I think I've had as well, like, times in the relationship where I've wanted, I think one of the things encouraged us to open up was there's like times where, yeah, one of us would want to do things sexually that the other wouldn't, and then sometimes we both want the same thing, and like there's times where I've just like wanted to bottom, and Dan's had a lot of success with that and I've not had much. So we kind of sat down, spoke, Dan gave me some tips on updating my Grindr profile to make me come across as a thirsty bottom.
Oh my god, that is so cute.
I was getting quite jealous because Dan was able to have the kind of sex with other people that I wanted, but I think that there were tweaks to be made. There were things I could change on my profile. I could take a whole new load of nudes. I could do loads of things to help kind of.
That is so cute. I love that Dan was like, okay, it's just because people don't think you're thirsty.
That's like, you really got to sell it sometimes.
He was like, I'll take the picture of your ass. I'm just imagining the like meme that's like, you're doing amazing, sweetie. Like,
your ass is looking peachy, spanky, yeah. Click.
If we didn't have the communication, I'd never have been able to articulate that. And it's good having the trust and just being able to approach someone with that problem. It's a bit of an odd one, but we were able to meet those needs, we'll put it that way.
I love it. Yeah, I think, like, because I've heard it before where people have been like, oh, one person was more into the idea of opening up the relationship, but then they found that the other person was actually having more sex outside of the relationship once they did open up. And then they were like, oh, well, this was my idea, but now I'm not actually getting laid that much. And you are, I guess, unless you're going to do everything together as a couple and like only have threesomes, it might be the fact that people are like, oh, I'm jealous that you're meeting more people, or like it's easier for you to find the right kind of person. Like, I know that the couple that I had a threesome with, they're both bisexual, and the guy was saying that it's much easier for them to find bisexual women to have a threesome with, but they haven't ever found a bisexual guy to have a threesome with. And obviously, like, he wants to find a guy to have a threesome with, and at that point he wasn't interested in having sex with someone like without his partner. So obviously sometimes you're like, oh, actually, like, we can't actually find the perfect person we're looking for. Like, even if we've decided, yeah, cool, we want to open the relationship, then you're like, okay, now we've actually got to find the right people.
Yeah, it's not just like having sexy times all the time. Like, we had that issue at the start where we wanted to put in like a rule where we'd take it in turns to meet people, and over time that changed, but for like a good initial period it was very much like your turn then my turn, so that the other person wouldn't feel jealous that we're meeting up with more people than the other one was or anything like that.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, do you want to like talk a bit about rules? Because like before we start recording, you said that you used to have a lot more than you do now.
Yeah, so I guess our rules were initially, we had four main ones, which were respect our relationship time, and, you know, where we're like watching a film or a movie or something in the evening, like don't just sit on Grindr, always use protection. And then, yeah, the frequency of how often we were like having sex with other people. And then we also had the blacklists. There were four rules. Blacklist was like exes and things like
that. Oh, yeah. Definitely got to have some people where it's like, no way, you're not going near those people.
Exactly. But I guess over time we've evolved that, and then we added to it, like Tom said just before we started recording, like it got like a bit like a flow chart, and that was a lot. Like, you can only have sexy time with this person when the moon is like there are pigs flying in the sky. It got a bit like much.
Yeah, it's like the rules in Mean Girls, like you can only wear pink on Wednesdays, and like you can only top on a Thursday.
It just got really confusing, so we had to really take a step back.
I think it makes sense to have like an abundance of rules in the beginning, because like, especially if you're like a bit of an anxious person, like having a lot of rules in place can make you feel a lot more in control and like comfortable in a new situation. But then it's good that you are able to be like, let's reassess, like some of these aren't actually working for us.
Yeah, I think we check in kind of every about 3 to 6 months, just generally. And then if we find something's really not working, we'll just have a conversation about it just when we need to.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously over COVID and everything, we've had like very different rules around meeting people. So we've just really kept the dialogue open of when is and when isn't appropriate to meet people.
This is just the perfect segue to the bilemma that someone sent. So they said, I don't know how to flirt. I came out last year as bisexual. I'm a cis woman and I've only dated cis men so far. Now there's a non-binary person I have a crush on. We talk almost every day, share the same interests and enjoy each other's company. The thing is, I'm in a monogamous relationship right now. So far, we're very happy and our communication skills are quite good. We're thinking about opening the relationship, but need to talk about details, especially as COVID doesn't make this easier and we want to wait until we're fully vaccinated. We also live together and he doesn't think he'll actually flirt with other people once we open our relationship, which is fine, I guess. At the same time, I do feel more and more attracted to the other person, even though my feelings for my boyfriend stay the same. Maybe I'm poly. They know I'm in a relationship, which makes me question, do they interpret our conversations the same way I do? Or does everything come off as a platonic vibe? So I guess my questions are, any tips on opening a relationship, setting boundaries for people who haven't done it before? And how do you flirt? I feel like it's so classic when you're gay to be like, I never know if people are flirting with me or if they just want to be friends.
Well, it's stressful. It's hard to know.
But I guess the easiest part to start with is the bits about, do you have any tips on when you're first opening a relationship and setting boundaries?
I think there's a few good tips we have. I mean, first off, obviously it's completely normal to be attracted to other people. So she's obviously said she's starting to feel attraction to this other person.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. I mean, she's not mentioned feeling guilty, but don't feel guilty if this is your situation. It's so normal. It happens to everyone.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, it sounds like they've got, they're in like a good, stable relationship anyway, and their communication's good. So, I mean, communicating's always been like the foundation stone, really. It won't work if you're not talking to each other about it.
I would say to really fully research and agree on the rules of the open relationship with the other person, kind of as an aside to them being attracted to that non-binary person. Really, what it's kind of two separate things, isn't it? Like, they want to, first of all, make sure that their relationship that they currently have, if that is going to go into an open relationship, that it happens properly and that they know what their rules are around that. And going into an open relationship is really to have those rules and to abide by those rules is really important, as that kind of replaces the unspoken monogamous rules that people have. And if you abide by those rules, then you end up building that really essential trust in each other, and really allows you to be open. It's not just like a free-for-all.
Yeah, I think that's like so smart what you said about like the unspoken rules of monogamy, which is basically don't cheat on me. But it's like, actually, everyone's idea of cheating and being unfaithful is different. Like, some people would think if you're flirting with someone else, that's a problem for me. But some people think it's only a problem once it becomes a physical thing. And like, especially the things that this person says about, my boyfriend says he's not going to flirt with people. Is he comfortable with you doing that? Is it something where he's like, oh, I'm happy for us to open up our relationship and for you to pursue things, but I'm actually not super interested in pursuing anything myself? Which is completely valid. Like, when you have an open relationship, it doesn't have to be that you both want to go out and have sex with a million people. Like, one of you can be like, I just want to date. I don't really want to sleep with people. Like, I think they really need to have a good conversation about what is okay and what isn't. And it also just wasn't that clear from the question whether the boyfriend is aware of this friendship that the person has with this non-binary person that they have a crush on, because it's like, he needs to be aware of that regardless of whether you decide to open up your relationship, because I think he might feel a bit kind of out of the loop if you say, oh, well, now we've opened our relationship, there's this person I've been talking to for however many months and I really want to get to know better. I guess it might make things more complicated if you want to open your relationship and there's someone actually in mind that you want to pursue. And it's less of like a hypothetical, what would you feel about if I did this?
Yeah, as it may well be that he's just wants to give her the opportunity to explore her sexuality, whereas he's confident and happy where he is.
Mm. Yeah, I guess because you two live together, do you have any kind of boundaries about your living space? Because I know, like, with Caddy and Hannah, like, it's not something we've really spoken about, but because of COVID, like, I've only been over there a couple of times and, like, we've all hung out together. But because we're, like, in a actual relationship, like, Caddy just comes and sleeps over at mine. Like, I would never go and sleep over at their house. Like, I think even if Hannah was away, it would just feel like a violation of their space if I was there, in that sense. But do you have it where you're like, you can sleep with people at their house but not at our house, like that kind of rule?
It depends. So in normal times, Dan travels with work, so and stays overnight quite often. So if he's off in Kent or wherever, if I've got the house to myself, then it's fair game. But I have to change the bed sheets before Dan comes back.
Yeah, that's I love that you're like, we've got to have some basic hygiene.
Yeah, basic hygiene things, and like for like respect and things as well.
Yeah.
Like, I would say, like, when like we have people over at our shared house when the other person isn't here, if we're going to be meeting separately, that's fine, as long as everything's like cleaned when the other person comes back, before the other person comes back.
Yeah.
And like, we would never have somebody over to play separately if the other person's at home and not invited to join in. That would be really awkward.
Yeah, you're like, don't mind me, I'm just cooking dinner.
Yeah,
it's quite like we're in a small one-bed flat, like you'd know what was going on and it would just be uncomfortable.
Yeah, I think like obviously because of COVID, it complicates things because it's like they might not be in a position where one of them can just be like, okay, I'm going to go out for the evening. It might be the kind of case where they have to agree like, okay, for the time being, we'll meet at bars and then go back to the other person's place, or if they're going to be like super strict about COVID, it could just be like, we're going to do like FaceTime dates with people, we're not actually going to meet anyone. Like,
yeah,
I think it's just working out what suits them basically.
And follow COVID safety rules, whatever is on at the time.
Exactly. And also just more than whatever's on at the time, because the government are just a complete shit show. Anyone who's trying to hook up with people at the moment, it does involve a lot of trust. Like, is that person going to be honest with you about people that they're seeing? It's kind of like sexual health has now extended to like COVID health.
Yeah, yeah, true.
You just need to be able to have those conversations. And then the other side of the question, which is about the flirting, I kind of just think they should be straight up with this person they have a crush on and just be like, I'm actually interested in you and I get quite a flirty vibe from our conversations. Is it platonic for you or do you feel the same?
Yeah, we said that as well, actually. So after they've agreed with their partner that they're open and that they're happy to do these things and this is on the table, I mean, how does one flirt? It, like, nobody knows. Flirting is so awkward all the time, always. Mine is generally drunk and stumbling into people. Tom has the Tom stare.
It's a really lie. I think I'm subtly like watching someone. I've been reliably informed, not like checking them out and just, I mean, if Dan's impressions of it are anything to go by, it's not a good look and it's no one.
You're like bearing into someone's soul from across the room.
Not blinking. I would say like appropriate touching. So if you're getting a good vibe, like maybe like squeeze their arm and hug at the end kind of thing. Just make sure that there is some sort of physical contact going on, but always appropriate.
Yeah. I think
boundaries.
Yeah.
A lot of, I think a lot of people who are queer end up in situations where you have a friendship where you're like, is this more than friends? Is this a bit flirty? And sometimes you do just have flirty friendships and they actually don't want to take it any further. Like, I'm very flirty and I definitely have situations where I'm like, I'm happy to flirt with you, but I think if we ever tried to take it further, it would be a bit of a catastrophe. So they might just be a bit of a flirty person. And I think the only way you're going to find out if they fancy you is by asking them. And it's okay to ask someone if they fancy you. Like, I feel like in your early 20s, like dealing with rejection is like one of the biggest hurdles that you have to get past. Like, yeah, sometimes people don't fancy you and it sucks, but it gets easier the more you get rejected.
Yeah.
Then it's just like, okay, great, on to the next. Oh God, I have so many embarrassing stories of like people who have turned me down, but I mean, it makes you stronger and it's like everyone's human. You can be like the hottest person in the room and some people just won't fancy you. Like, it's all good.
I think that's, again, we touched on it earlier with the open relationship. It's just, you've still got that person to go back home to. Yeah, like you could just feel like going out on the pull at a club when they reopen and you're feeling safe. Like, you can go just be completely unsuccessful and it's just like, oh, that's like, I've still got my partner. Like, it's fine. Like, the rejection doesn't feel as bad.
Mm-hmm. And then, so the next one is about like what you share and what you don't share. So they've kind of said, how do you keep track of your boundaries and rules without making a Google Doc and being super type A? And how do you decide what you tell your partners about the other people you're seeing?
We do have the shared like note on our phones.
So I think that's the, it's like, depends on what kind of person you are. Like, I find it so funny that like the two like successful open relationship couples I know are both like Virgo couples. Cause I'm like, yes, you have the organizational skills to like pull this off and know who you're seeing when and like keep track of everything. I think it's actually fine to have your rules written down, but like obviously not everyone needs to have it.
Ours is inspired by Dua Lipa and is titled I've Got New Rules. And we do actually have like a list of rules now. And generally we know them off by heart kind of thing. But
this is the thing, it's like, it's good to have like, here are the basic points and here's what is the most important things that we need to stick to.
Yeah, and I guess as time's gone by and new situations have come up, we generally talk about them. So either before or if it's happened afterward and been like, okay, this new thing has happened. We haven't spoken about this before. How do we feel about that? And do we need to like put more guidelines in place for us?
Yeah, so it's like having flexible rules as well. And then in terms of what you decide to share, that literally is up to you. And you can change that based on what is comfortable. Like if at the beginning you're like, yeah, we want to share about stuff, and then you're like, actually, you're giving me too much detail and this just makes me feel a bit uncomfortable, like I don't want to know the full play-by-play of what went down, like I just want to know how it went, like overall, like do you have a good time, that's cool. I think that's kind of just like play it by ear. But if you're someone who like knows, I definitely don't want to know about the kind of sex you're having, I want to know who you're meeting and when, but I don't really want to know anything else, like that's fine. You don't have to be like, okay, let's go fuck other people and then we'll talk about it for hours. Like if you're not into that, that's fine.
Yeah, put it in your Google Doc, make a rule.
We're more likely to talk about it if it's been like a bad experience, because that's where we need more support of the other one. So we just need to like, this happened, wasn't into it at all, and we can start emotionally supporting each other. Whereas like if it's good, you just come back like, have fun, yeah, get in the shower, get on with your life, like.
Yeah, and it's good that you're able to like share with each other, like actually I met up with someone and I didn't really enjoy it, like we didn't have a good connection, like, because I think sometimes people think like, oh, having an open relationship is like so sexy and fun. It's like sometimes you're gonna meet people that like you just don't gel with, or like you'll try something new that you end up not enjoying, and like that's okay as well.
Yeah, I think particularly if you're going out to experiment and try something different, there's a chance you may not enjoy it. There's a lot of people out there, you're not going to be sexually compatible with everyone. And particularly early days of being open, I'd only had sex with Dan for a few years at that point, so like sex with someone different was like, it takes a while to get used to. And if it's just a one-off meetup, like it's never going to be the same.
Yeah, it is strange because like everyone is so different. Like I also find like first times can often be not so great. Like the first time you have sex with someone, especially when you haven't like become super confident with communicating about sex, like when you go from having a monogamous relationship to like having one night stands, you might feel like, oh well, the sex I have in my relationship is 10 times better than this. But then you might meet someone that you have amazing sex with. And do you also like sleep with people more than once? Because I guess that's a rule that some people have, like only sleep with someone once.
Yeah, so we've kind of gone into a new phase of our open relationship, where at the beginning it was very much just sexual.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're starting to explore like, oh, actually we do prefer regular people that we've met up with a few times, or we prefer getting to know people a little bit more, having some drinks and maybe having them over to play some Mario Kart and stuff.
That's so cute.
Yeah, and that is definitely like, you create more of a connection and you can have like better sex. And so we've started exploring opening our relationship emotionally as well too. And over time, I've kind of, myself specifically, have come to realize that I'm probably polyamorous.
Yeah.
And that's helped me to like being in an open relationship has helped me to understand that. So yeah, absolutely. We do have sex with the same person more than once, and it gets better and better.
This is the thing. It's like, even if you're still primarily opening up the relationship for sexual experiences, like going on dates with people can make the sex better because you communicate with them better and like you know them on a deeper level and you have like a foundation. Even if it's like you hang out like friends, like that can make your sex better. Like, and I love this Mario Kart thing. This is like the dream. Like if I met a couple and they're like, oh, do you want to come over and play Mario Kart? I'd be like, yes. And then they'd be like, you're crazy competitive, we don't want to sleep with you.
Yeah, we can only do like 2 tournaments on Mario Kart before we have to turn the Switch off. Otherwise, yeah, we argue.
Oh my god, and who do you play on Mario Kart?
I play Yoshi, but the black Yoshi.
Okay, cool.
I change. I really like Iggy.
Psychopath behavior.
Or like, yeah. I've been playing Tanuki Mario recently.
Okay, I don't even know who these people are. I haven't played it since I was like 16 or something, but I'm always Princess Peach, which I think is the gay, is the bisexual character to pick. Like if you pick Princess Peach in Mario Kart, you might be bisexual.
Litmus test.
So I'm gonna do your tarot. Shall I do like a joint tarot, or do you want one each?
Oh, let's do one each.
Nice. Okay, so who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay, cool, Dan, let's go. You've got the moon, let me show you.
I love the moon.
Cute, it's pink.
Oh, that's very cool. The moon, I have like an affinity with the moon.
I wonder, I need to do your full chart and find out what your moon and your rising signs are. Because the moon rules Cancer, so maybe you've got some good vibes there. Okay, so the three words are uncertainty, intuition, and mystery.
Ooh.
Okay, 56, let's find it. And I'll put my glasses on so I can, I've got a fighting chance of actually being able to do it. Okay, says, for me, as a stereotypical Pisces, the moon has always been the most important tarot card in the deck. In so many ways, this card sums up the tarot's intention and purpose of itself. This card indicates our own psychic power and brings connection to the moon and water. This is a card of deep intuitive knowledge that encourages us to dig into our subconscious to find the answers that we're looking for. Because of this card's connection to intuition, it often surfaces when someone in our lives is being deceptive. I reject this interpretation sometimes because the moon is traditionally the feminine face of divine and the sun its masculine counterpart. I refuse to demonize the feminine face of the divine, and that does mean rejecting this function of the card, but it does have its place sometimes. It's saying that you might be feeling insecure and the moon might be telling you to go down a further path of healing. The moon illuminates things when you're looking for answers, but unlike the bright, warm glow of the sun, the moon guides us to the dark in ourselves and to go deeper into ourselves for the answers that we seek. So it might be kind of, she's talking about like just shadow self and things like that. Ooh, that. There might be like something beneath the surface that you need to like tap into.
Well, I'm gonna actually at work soon start doing or being a coachee to someone who's doing like a coaching course. So this is a good opportunity for me to start digging deeper.
Oh my God, yes, I love that. And also the whole reason I do this podcast is because I was like the guinea pig for someone who was training to be a life coach. And she was like, okay, you need to think of a goal. And I was like, I can't think of any goals. Like I'd never plan ahead. And then in the middle of the night, I was like, I'm going to start a podcast. It's going to be called The Bisexual Agenda. And she was like, okay, just like write down the stuff you can feasibly do in 2 weeks. And I was like, okay, I'll find out how to make a podcast and I'll find out what stuff I need. And I think because someone was like, okay, you need to actually do something in the next 2 weeks, that actually made it happen. Because otherwise I might have just been like, that's a cool idea, but like, it's never going to happen.
Oh, that's amazing. So I might end up doing a podcast.
Yes. Yeah, that's the only thing that ever comes out of life coaching. You just start a podcast.
Start a podcast.
Okay, so it says, regardless of your gender or sexuality, the moon brings big things to the surface and things that you often let bubble up only when you're alone. Okay, so maybe it's something about like sharing things with other people that you sometimes keep a bit more private.
Ooh, okay.
It's all about healing. It's all about taking things slowly to get to the next stage. I feel like this is a nice card. It's a bit of a kind of like, it is what you make of it.
It's like a thinky card. It's like one where you're going to develop and like look at yourself deeper and then take that outside and make something of it.
Beautiful. I feel like that's positive.
Yeah, it feels positive.
Okay, Tom, I'm just going to do a shuffle and I'm really bad at shuffling, so bear with me.
Prepare to get the moon card.
Imagine. I'd be like, that's a sign that you're just so well connected. Like, no, the sign is that Kit can't shuffle.
So I do actually have a Cancer moon as well, so...
Oh, God. I always say that Cancer moon is, like, the hardest placement, I think, can be that... Do you feel that you sometimes hide your emotions because you know that they'll upset other people?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's where a lot of my communication issues stem from, is that I want to, like, upset people, so I keep quiet in the background. But then... as Dan will repeatedly tell me, it's worse for me to hide something. And I obviously just builds and then, like, I'll lose my temper over him doing something for, like, the seventh or eighth time. And it's like, if you'd have spoken to me earlier, we could have thought of this in a normal way.
Oh, God, I'm, like, so bad for being passive-aggressive. And it's, like, it actually, usually if people are passive-aggressive, it comes from a place of feeling like you have no way to express negative emotions other than through, like, kind of, I don't know, like playing off something else, like saying, oh, I'm pissed off about this, but actually you're pissed off about something else. Like, I do feel a lot of sympathy for people who do that because I'm like, I'm so like that. And it's usually because, like, it's so hard to bring up stuff that you're finding difficult, but it's like at the end of the day that actually helps everyone involved.
I've got a bad relationship with anger, so it's just really trying to deal with it in a healthy way rather than just like trying to think like everything should be like sunshine and rainbows and wonderful. It's like, no, it's not, and it's fine that it's not. Like, you get angry, you have bad days, it's all right.
It is okay. I'm glad you have Dan, because I feel like he seems very level-headed.
Most of the time, yeah.
Okay, you have got the Eight of Cups. So the cups are usually about emotions. And I can't remember exactly. It's either going to be a really good one or a really bad one.
Tense.
The Eight of Cups is leaving things behind, starting over, and uncertainty. You're about to level up. I think it's nine is a super nice one. So hopefully you're going to get to the Nine of Cups eventually. Okay. This card denotes a bittersweet ending. You love something and it's over now, and that's really sad. However, the promise of this card is that you're moving on beautifully to bigger and brighter things. There are a lot of pieces in your heart swimming around this phase of your life, and there always will be, but it's time to make a decision to move on. This is one of my least favorite cards in the deck. I feel bad. I feel like I want to give you a new one.
Well, no, I think it relates into like at work at the moment. I've my team's kind of split into two separate teams, and I've just moved from one to the other, and it's like I've moved from a really like comfortable group of people that I've really got to know over the past like year and a half or so. It's people I get on with really well, like I know what I'm doing, and I've moved into the other part of the team, which is busier. It's a lot more chaotic, but there's potential for me to like grow in my role a bit more. So I'm just looking at it like that.
Mm-hmm. So she's saying, because the cups are about emotional healing and fulfillment, there are times when the lesson of the eight is hard work, but it's fairly straightforward. So I think it's kind of one of those times where you realize like, okay, this change might be difficult, but ultimately it's going to move me to a better place. I think a lot of people are in that situation at the moment. Like, I know a lot of people who are changing jobs or like moving house. And sometimes it can be really scary, like not knowing what this next step is. But this is kind of giving the idea that it's going to turn out better, maybe, than you expected.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I've just had my first week. It's been a bit of a roller coaster.
Yeah. Okay, the end of this is saying that you're going to be forced to take a deep dive into the emotional abyss.
I mean, maybe that's not my job. I feel like emotional abuse is a bit intense for a day job, but we're framing, we're putting this as positively as possible.
Yeah, it says what you're leaving is a time of buried emotion and unhealthy processing, but something you're coming towards is something so fulfilling and brilliant that you won't believe that you're on this path before. Okay, I feel like I have messed this up because I was talking to you about your Cancer moon, and I feel like this is all about the story of the Cancer moon, which is like leaving behind buried emotions to actually talk about things. Oh my God, I do remember getting that card a lot. And then when you finally get to the Nine of Cups is like so positive. It's like you're in this amazing place, like everyone around you loves you, like everything's in alignment. So let's just hope that it was really better be the nine, and that's where you really are.
Yeah.
There are some scary ones to get. I mean, it's not the worst card. Like, there are definitely some that when I get them, I'm like, I just want to put that back. Like, whenever I get the tower's like, everything's about to fall apart completely.
Yeah.
And nothing will remain.
I feel like there's a bit of, like, hope to it. It's like, there's, like, difficult times ahead, but it's going to work out.
Yeah. Also, it's, like, saying, like, whatever's changing is for the best, and it's something that had to change, even if it's a difficult thing. Okay, well, now I've like pushed Tom into the emotional abyss.
Yeah.
It's time for your agendas. So you're doing like a bit of a half and half.
Yeah, let's start with that one. So we've touched on it a bit already as part of the podcast, but it's just you don't stop being attracted to people when you're in a relationship. Society over romanticizes things. I am a big fan of trashy YA books and TV shows, and so many things I've read are just like, you get into a relationship and no one else is attractive and you don't like anyone else. And that's really, when I first got together with Dan, my whole experience of things had been just all these books and shows, and I was just like, I felt guilty. I felt like I was like wrong that there was still, I was still attracted to other people. So squash that idea down.
Yeah, I think it's like interesting because in like TV shows and stuff, it often is like the very end is when people get together, and then it's like, now they're happily ever after and we're not going to show anything of their relationship. So most like classical rom-coms and stuff like that, it's not even about the relationship, it's just about them getting together. I always think of it as like friends. Like, I don't have one best friend. Like, basically all my close friends are my best friend, and like, it's not like there's only room for one. Like, I don't know, I see lots of really cute stuff that's about like polyamory, that's like, if you have more love to give and you know you can give that to more than one person, like, why is that seen as a negative thing rather than something that's like really amazing?
Yeah, absolutely. And that kind of leads into my agenda as well, which is there is no the one. Lots of people we connect with throughout life. And, you know, there are billions of people in the world. And why is like, why does everybody find their the one within like a 20-mile radius of where they're from? It's just ridiculous.
It's so true. Like, I think people like believing in like things that sound amazing and beautiful. Like, obviously it does sound beautiful that like, okay, there's one person on the planet that is literally the perfect person for you. But it's also just like, well, what if that person is like a fisherman in the Arctic and I'm never going to meet them? Like, I'm here thinking that my soulmate is just someone I met at uni, and it's actually, you know, like, it's also romantic to think like there are so many connections you could make with so many different people, and like every person is going to bring a different thing into your life, and like every relationship is going to teach you something different about yourself. Like, that's also romantic.
Yeah, you learn so much from so many people. It's like one's almost a bit limiting.
I think that makes people stay in relationships that they've been in for a really long time when they're actually not happy. Because, you know, people are like, oh, we've been together since we were 16 and we're soulmates. And it's like, you're actually a completely different person than you were when you entered that relationship. And maybe it's not the right fit for you anymore. But if you have this idea that this one person is your person, that might stop you from actually being realistic about what you want and need. Like, yeah, that's, we hate monogamy. Yeah. I feel like I don't want to be like
monogamy.
It's not like, I think the thing is, because it's like what you're saying about how open relationships are like the future, I guess some people would argue that it's natural to be monogamous and natural to only want to be with one person for your whole life. But it's like, that's actually like an ideal that we have that isn't necessarily going to work for everyone. And I think now it's becoming a lot more, especially like with queer people, it's much more common to meet people who are in open relationships or like polyamorous relationships. That's one of the like best things about being queer, is like there aren't these like rigid expectations about what your relationship will look like.
Yeah, we're already out of the heteronormative agenda.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not like non-monogamy solves problems that are in relationships, but it's like, if it's something that works for you and it's something that you want, like, that's something you should pursue, I think.
Yeah, like, non-monogamy is not, I wouldn't say, like, it's not a fix for problems in your relationship. It can, like, enhance things, but we've seen couples that we've spoken to, like, one or both of them on Grindr, and they'll go open to try fix problems, and it just, they're not dealing with their underlying issues. They're just like trying to stick a plaster on something that needs surgery. It's just,
yeah, I think this is the thing, because it's like in my first, like the first person I was seeing who was polyamorous, like I think I had the idea that like polyamorous relationships or open relationships solve the problem of cheating. And it's like, you can also cheat in an open relationship. Like, yeah, if one of you like broke serious ground rules that you have, or like saw someone in secret, like you can actually still break trust in an open relationship. I think that was something where I was like, what the hell, someone cheated on me even though they could have slept with someone if they just asked me. Like, I think that was something where I was like, oh, you can still have cheating as a problem in an open relationship or a polyamorous relationship. And yeah, that's to do with like people who are shit, not relationship models that don't work, basically. Yes. Yeah, some people are shit and polyamorous. And that's always going to be the case, sadly. Okay, what else is on your agenda?
So I think my next one is a just more open relationship, polyamorous, like, representation and, like, understanding around it in the media and things. Like, I've spoken to a few of my friends about being open. Dan's spoken to some of his work colleagues, but it's not like we've told our family or anything. It feels like it's almost being back in the closet a bit. There's, like, this whole big part of our lives and our relationship that we're not free to discuss with loads of people because, I guess, fear of judgment, some of it, just lack of understanding from other people.
Yeah, like, the only shows that I know is, like, I know that someone recommended that I watch Trigonometry, but that's about a throuple, I think. And then there's a show on Netflix that's called You, Me, Her, but that is, like, such trash. Like, it's about a married couple that get involved with a younger woman and then they end up being a throuple, but, like, it's quite bad, like, polyamorous representation. Like, they're always, like, making terrible compromises that none of them are happy with and stuff like that. Like, it's not a good show and it's not a good representation, but it's, like, it does exist.
Yeah, I think it started, I mean, it was like that with all kinds of, like, gay representation at the start. There were always, like, the problematic characters were gay and they always had really similar storylines about, like, being cheated on and things, and it's just,
it's difficult when people don't have any kind of understanding or, like, any idea of what, like, a healthy open relationship can look like, because obviously when people are judgmental, sometimes it does come from a bad place, but sometimes it just comes from having, like, no knowledge. So, like, I'm similar in the fact that, like, so my sister knows that I'm in an open relationship and, like, that's all good. Like, I know she's not judgmental, but, like, when I'm talking about Caddy at work, I know that everyone would find it so weird if I was like, oh yeah, like, Caddy's girlfriend Hannah. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like, it would be so confusing to people that don't understand that we're in an open relationship. And when I have to try and explain it to people, I do kind of wonder that they're gonna be like, oh well, why are you interested in that? Like, that's a weird situation. But people have actually been pretty good about it. Like, I'm friends with this woman I used to work with who's literally, like, 70 years old, and she is, like, so chill about, like, Caddy having another partner and also Caddy being non-binary. And I'm just like, okay, so, like, people can do it and people can learn about new things, but I think if there was, like, good representation, that would help quite a lot. Because also it's easier if you can just be like, oh, it's like this TV show, rather than being like, I'll explain my whole life to you so, yeah, you can so you can be like, oh yeah, that sounds cool. Maybe I need to write a TV show about an open relationship.
No, that's what I have to do after my coaching.
Oh my god, yes. That'd be so good.
TV show.
I'll wake up at, like, 2 a.m. and be like, the TV show.
I do really want there to be stuff like that, but if it got in the wrong hands, it would probably set everyone back. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, if they made some terrible, like, three-way dating show, it would always be about, like, the drama and stuff like that. But I don't know. I think the thing is, like, a lot of people don't realize that, like, open relationships are also about, like, admin and, like, emotional work. It's not just, like, we go and have sex with people. Like, it's also a lot of, like, organizing stuff and talking about feelings. Like, it's not just, like, a hobby or anything like that.
There's a lot that goes on in the background, but there's a lot of STI checks and unglamorous things like that. But excuse the screaming in the background. It's not just about the sex, it's about so much more. Like, even our relationship as it started, where it was really about us exploring sexually, it was that helped fulfill us as people and to grow as, like, individual, like, members of the relationship as well.
Yeah, and it's, like, stuff that you learn in with your, like, relationships or connections with other people will also, like, bring things into your relationship. Like, even if you kept things completely separate and you only dated people separately, like, it would impact your relationship, like, in a positive way. Like, that's another thing that people don't realize. Like, obviously Callie's relationship with Hannah, like, that does impact our relationship, like, but that's a good thing to me. Like, you can't separate things entirely, like, when you have relationships with other people, that, like, that isn't a bad for me. I'm like, well, them having a good relationship makes me happy, like, us being happy makes Hannah happy. Like, it actually can be, like, a positive thing. And I've seen this stuff about, like, the opposite of jealousy, which is this thing called compersion, which is, like, feeling happy that your partner is experiencing, like, happiness or pleasure, like, outside of your relationship. I don't know if you ever get it where, like, if one of you has a really good date, you're like, oh, I feel good for them. Like, I'm glad they had a cool time.
Interesting. That's good. Yeah, I like that.
I think people focus so much on like the things that can be difficult, like the jealousy and working out the ground rules and stuff like that. It's like, well, you also need to talk about the things that are positive, because it's not like people are like, hey, let's make our relationship complicated for no reason. Like, it actually does like bring things that are positive for like everyone involved.
Yeah, definitely. My last one is I want a satisfying, like, proper end to the High School Musical series. Like, Ryan needed to have his gay life and we were robbed of it. They could have done so much better and they did not. And it's really just, it haunts me all these years later.
I fucking love High School Musical, and I'm like, I do have a crush on Zac Efron. Like, he's like one of the few men that I fancy.
Zac Efron is beautiful.
He's so gorgeous, and he just seems like super sweet as well. Like, because I watched the travel show of his on Netflix and he just seems so wholesome. Like, I just think he's adorable.
Yeah, and he's kind of, he's just remained my sexuality throughout my life. Like,
it's the one constant in your life.
Any move he makes has been a good one.
I don't know, like, what he's been in recently. He's kind of, like, quit being a celebrity, kind of, hasn't he?
Yeah, I don't really know what he does. He just, I think he's just finished filming something. I think I saw on Instagram. I can't remember.
Oh my God, beautiful. Also, I remember just seeing that he has a new girlfriend who's also called Vanessa, and I was like, okay, we need like a Vanessa Hudgens, Zac Efron reunion.
We really do.
And I also think they could have easily made High School Musical like a bisexual thing. Have you all seen the memes that are like, it's kind of like a metaphor for being bi, because he's like, oh, I love basketball, but I also love singing.
It's like, you can love both, it's fine.
It's like, actually, Troy, you're bisexual. Okay, I'm so happy that you came on the podcast, and thank you for like being so open about your relationship, because I think a lot of people do have questions about like how people make it work. So it's good to like have people actually come on and talk about their experiences rather than me just giving people random advice like, yeah, do it.
Thank you for inviting us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
And also, I'm just happy because now everyone can hear that Tom has the most amazing accent in the world. Thank you.